Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A man become preeminent, he is expected to have enthusiasms. 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 What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dames.
Baseball.
Episode 4 of the Champions League podcast over on the Pull Hitter podcast. It's coming at you right now. Me and my co-host Randy Haynes. We have on Trevor Gobble. Gobble, gobble. Fellow Meatball Mafia member. Good player. Just recently got involved with the NFBC. Won 4-6 online championships last year. We discussed a whole bunch of things. Strategies, player shares, all that fun stuff. So come check out the Pull Hitter Fantasy podcast over on the Patreon as well. Patreon.com, put Pull Hitter Fantasy into the search bar. You get a week trial if you want to come check it out. I do podcast recapping the day's event, diving deep into box scores for actionable plays that may be available on your wire. I do lineup pods to help you set your lineup for NFBC, Fantrek League, Daily Leagues that can help with a little bit too as well. Come check it out. Got a lot more to offer too. Get access to the Discord. Awesome discussion there daily on the reg. Goop, enjoy this episode with Randy and Trevor Gobble. Peace. All right, welcome on into episode 4 of the Champions League podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Randy Haynes. We have another special guest with us tonight. First, get to go into my friend Randy. Every time we do this podcast, Gunnar Henderson hits a home run. And I'm just starting to think that maybe we should podcast do podcasts every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way ahead of you. I just wish I had more Gunner. I only have one share. And funny enough, it's the OC that the three of us are in together.
Yes, 100%.
But there's just a couple drafts he got pushed up in, and the main you're in that. So I had no chance to get him there. But it's definitely fun to watch every day.
Do you think he's one of the best players in baseball already?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I'm trying to
not be. not trying to be too small sample of this year and not too much of a homer, but it's realistic. Yeah, the kid is amazing. He made the play in shortstop. Mm-hmm.
That defensive play today. He
could do everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, and he's fast too. Just fast. I mean,
amazing athlete.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. So our special guest tonight is Mr. Trevor Gobble, fellow Meatball Mafia member. Trevor had a pretty fucking fantastic 2023 in the NFBC. I believe he won about 10 or 11 leagues. He'll be very modest and humble about it, but he's a threat. He's a threat in this space, and we're excited to talk to him. As Randy mentioned, we did an online championship, the three of us, and it was a fun time zooming up with you guys drafting that draft. But welcome to the show, Trevor. What's up?
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, what's going on?
That team was first overall in OC, right?
Yeah, there for a couple days, a little bit. I got my snapshot, you know.
There you go.
I wanted to save that while it lasted. But yeah, it was a fun draft that we did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure how it works is when you're on a Zoom call with people for a draft, and that draft wins the overall, the people on the call get like 70% of the winnings. I'm pretty sure that's in the rule book.
If it ends up there, you know, we'll discuss the percentages.
Yeah. Just an entry. I'll take an entry. I won't be so greedy. Oh, Randy. Oh man. But Trevor, it's funny because, you know, we got to talking and got a little closer last year because we did a team meatball draft in the Discord, and so, you know, I got the DC up and running. You managed it, and you got all the votes out for every pick. You handled the management of the lineups, you know, the ins and outs throughout the season. And I thought it was, first of all, a cool experience just to do with everybody else, and also to get inside your brain a little bit too. I was able to see you were really on par with a lot of things. So how was that experience for you? Because I was like, does anyone want to do this? And you were like, I'm in. I'm like, okay. And I didn't know much about you, you know, at the time, but we got to know each other really good after that.
Yeah, for sure. I was the first one to speak up, so it worked out. It was a lot of work. I didn't expect it to be as much work as it was, but we had fun with it. And I got to pick your brain, which was invaluable week to week. I was able to definitely see where you were at with start and sit, and that helped me out a lot. That's definitely probably why I had some success. I'm a little modest with, you know, how much success I had because I didn't compete in any overalls. I think me and you spoke early this draft season. And I told you one of my goals going into this year is I'd like to be a little bit more competitive in the overalls. So that was definitely a goal coming in. I'm hoping to do that this year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're pretty new into the NFBC, right? You're like only a couple years in?
Yeah, started in 2022, just kind of stumbled into the format. I was listening to, I think, Rates and Barrels. That was just one of the bigger podcasts. They'd mentioned it. Started browsing around. Next thing I know, I start playing. And then 2023, I got linked up, started listening to the Deadpool Hitter podcast, and became a meatball. I was like, yeah, this is definitely it, you know, in terms of communities that I want to be a part of. So jumped into that, listened to probably every podcast that you guys put out there. So, yeah.
It's awesome. You've been a very active part of the community too, always talking and sharing your views and opinions. I think that's the best thing about it, you know. It's a whole bunch of fun. And then so... What was your first reaction when you heard about the Champions League pod?
I was excited about it. I didn't know, and I actually mentioned this to you as well when we were chatting. I was like, I hadn't had any success in 15-team Fab Leagues. It was just one thing. I hadn't tried a main yet because I was very successful with 12 teams or 12-team leagues. So I decided at the end of the day, it was too exciting to pass up. I was like, I'm not going to wait till next year. I'm going to jump in this year.
Yeah.
So my first main experience is this year, and oddly enough, that's the league that I'm doing the worst in, so no surprise there.
How did you transition into getting ready for that? Did you set aside like a specific strategy? Like, what did you get into most in deciding like how you were going to approach the main event? Because that is the biggest thing. Like, I think, you know, going and not experiencing a 15-team league, or just not having as much experience in it. And it's a big difference, you know, like it's those extra guys that you got to grind for. And, you know, just seeing to where your head was in a lot of draft champions too, I think it's a good process to get involved with. You have to know the player pool in a whole different fashion.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I got my start in fantasy baseball playing Otanu, which you guys are probably familiar with that format. And it's a little bit of an auction mixed with a dynasty. So you get to know the player pool not nearly as well as you do when you start playing DCs. And I have had some success in DCs. But, yeah, with 15-team Fab Leagues, it just is a whole different beast, you know. There's a real balance between aggressiveness and patience when it comes to Fab. And with OCs, I know when to push the gas, you know, on certain players. That's what's led to a lot of success. In that format, but with 15-team Fab Leagues, it's as if, I don't know, maybe I'm playing a little too patient, so trying to brush up there. I remember when we did our OC together, Randy had mentioned pushing his main as far back as he could. That had given me an idea. I was like, maybe I should do that as well. And then with me and my wife, we were, you know, set to have a baby, in mid-March. So I remember I crowdsourced the Discord a little bit and was like, what do you guys think? And everybody was overwhelmingly like, do it as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So I ended up jumping in the 314 draft. And oddly enough, Clark Olson, who's also in the CLQ OC that I did, he was in that main. So I knew I had a real, you know, threat there because he's a very good player. But yeah, so that's how I ended up doing my strategy.
So double CLQ, both of his are CLQs, or are you just in your league in both and one is CLQ?
I believe both of his are CLQs. Yeah. As well.
Wow.
Yeah. And like either way though, like even if it's not, it's just funny if it's just even one, because mm-hmm. I got my brain thinking, like that's a total you're probably gonna lock into that player a lot more. That's so interesting. It's created so many cool dynamics.
You guys have been talking about the wrinkles that it provides, and that's definitely one wrinkle that's popped up for me is, you know, being in the same league with such a good player, you know, you watch his draft and both of those drafts, and you know you're going to be competing with him in Fab week to week. So, yeah, it's good fun.
So cool. Yeah, you're crushing our league right now. My team is awful. It's probably one of my most awful teams, but I'm climbing. I got a lot of work to do, but it's I like to extract the standings year to year, you know, and I go back when I don't feel good about my teams. I go back to last year and I just do it as a reminder. It's just like a stupid little practice I do, but it's like the refrigerator you know, magnets that makes you realize, you know, that you read and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I gotta shift my thinking. And so yeah. I looked at my team last year and I was like, ah, you know what? You don't win new leagues in the first couple of weeks and it's not the end of the world. So
it's still early. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like I'm, you know, we're in the same boat, Trevor. We're both, you know, I've won a good handful of OCs. This is my first year trying to main. And the first couple weeks my team was just straight ass, and now I'm third in the league. But you know, it could be ass again in a couple more weeks. So it's just, it is different trying to. I've been really conservative so far with some of my fab bids. I mean,
This is interesting. Yeah, why do you guys think that? Is it just because you're like being like lowballing dumb bids, or like purposely just trying to like?
I'm being a little more. I guess a little more just kind of also feeling, you know, every league, you also kind of want to feel out how it is with Fab, right?
Yeah.
Like we have, so the OC, the three of us are in together. We have one of the people in the league is already out of Fab. Like, you just kind of want to.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. It's April. I mean, he's out.
$0.
Yeah. I don't know what other way to say he's out of Fab. It's April 24th.
Did he think it was a different number, or this just?
I don't. I mean, I've been in leagues before with guys that just do crazy amounts of volume, and it seems like they just want to, you know, shoot their fab out at the beginning.
He made 12
and kind of see which teams spike in the overall, and then just pay attention to those teams. I think that's. I mean, I couldn't do that. Like, there's just no way I could operate that way.
But anyway,
like every fab, I try to feel out the rest of the league and how things are going. And ours, I feel like ours has been fairly calm so far, yeah. Rob. I mean, you're in the league, but the only thing I did was just kind of a couple guys that I thought Bladé was going to be something, so I spent a couple more bucks than average there. I knew I screwed up on Piam, so I went to get him back, and thankfully I did because he went triple digits pretty much every league that he was available last week. But yeah, I mean, you just kind of got to feel the league out. We don't have anybody that's out of Fab in that main. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He had 12, yeah. 12 moves. 12 moves. I'm fascinated by that.
I hope he makes them count.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the crazy part is that three of them were catchers.
I didn't even look individual. I didn't even know.
27 for Pinto. He had this is fascinating just looking at this, and 67 for Kirk and then 21 for Herrera. So I don't know if he still has three catchers. I'm not even gonna go that far. I already went too far. 12 moves and he's done. $1,000. See you later.
I saw you picked up Jack Flaherty in that league this week. That was a nice move.
Times have changed, huh?
Yeah.
Did you start him today?
I believe so. Yeah. Oh, well.
There's worse moves you can make, I guess, right? You could be out of fab.
I could be totally out of fab. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, man. All right, Randy, go ahead. It's your turn.
You kind of brought it up when I told you I wanted to wait till the last minute. What was the timing with your three CLQs? You know, when did you draft your OC, your DC, and your main?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I ended up doing my OC first. That was on February 9th. What I generally do, and this is what I did last year, I had a lot of success last year. I wanted to try to replicate that as much as I could. So what I tried to do was I bought a 3-pack of 50s. Those are just leagues where I just want to get some drafting experience. It's not a DC player pool, but it does give me a chance to practice in a draft room. So I went ahead, knocked out all three of my first 50s. I think I did three more 50s. And then after doing six of those, I was saying, you know, hey, I think I'm ready. Let's go ahead and fire up this OC. And I knocked out the OC. I'm doing well in that one. We'll see if that lasts. But then I did my DC on 218, so about a week later.
Nice.
Then after that, I waited about a month. I think we did a bunch of OCs in between there. I think I did an OC with you guys. I did an OC or a couple auctions, actually, with Todd Hoppe, with Joe McHugh. I did with those guys. And then a month later, I drafted that main on 314.
Yeah, your OC's got Ellie, got Tatis. I mean, that's a good way to start a draft.
Yeah, that was
Kirby and Webb pairing. I mean, that's
It's my only draft in one of the bigger leagues that I've done, where I took Ellie and he dropped to 30. And my stance on Ellie all year long was if he drops to 30, that's my time to fire it up and take Ellie. And
I missed that Harper was on your bench. So you got a deal on somebody if you had Tatis, Cruz, Harper, Webb, and Kirby.
Yeah. That's generally my strategy.
Who fell in that? Do you remember?
Let me pull up my sheet and I can tell you. But I'll tell you, that's my strategy in every league that I do is just attack the guy who falls. I mean, it's a simple strategy. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. Yeah. But when I see somebody falling, that's my, you know, opportunity to jump in there, grab some value that nobody else is going to get. So that's what I try to do.
I love that. That's I like how you did it. I like how you got in the zone and like prepared yourself for the format that you were getting into next. I think that's very, very crucial to do. And I think that's why I try to bang out my 12s nice and early. You know, and I did the same thing. I was like really knee deep into the OC stuff, and I did one draft, two drafts, and I was like, all right, I'm doing my CLQ. You know, I did them all in 1 week, three OCs, I think in like maybe 12 days, and I was happy I did it that way because I felt like I was so in the zone. You know, like if I was able to. And I was freed up at the time. I would have probably done it three straight nights, you know? You feel like, especially the online championship, you know, if you, and I've heard a lot of guys who played 15s and are the opposite of you guys, and then they didn't play OCs, you know, and they're playing it now. And I spoke to a couple of them, and it's like, you know, the one thing about it is just, I just always love my team compared to 15s, you know, such a big difference in the rosters. And I think that's what happens when you draft them. You just look at your team and like, oh, I got to do another OC. This was great, you know? They're just stacked.
You definitely do. You love your team. To go back to Randy's question, he asked who fell. I got Logan Webb in the sixth round, pick 67. That was probably a pretty good value. Ellie came at round three, pick 30. So, I mean, I think both of those were pretty good values there.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you feel like
obviously you had a Duran early that you're still waiting on. Okay, so I guess that's maybe one of the – with the time he drafted, hit a little bit of that. But, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be back a little sooner than maybe people were anticipating. Him and Sewell both.
Yeah, Sewell and Duran are two of the guys that I took. I took it, Sewell in my main, wasn't a guy I was in on. I needed a closer, and I ended up missing out on the second wave of closers as well in the main. So if you look at the CLQ, main saves, I'm dead last with zero saves. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to do some work there. I just picked up Neris in the main. So
okay. We'll
see if I can pick up some saves and hopefully get Sewell back.
It's funny how much you can change feeling about, not obviously a team, but just even a single pick. Like, I took Sewell in my main as my – he was my second closer, but it was a crazy draft where, like, Lang, Mason Miller, like, a bunch of guys just went in the first 10 rounds. I had Duvall, and Sewell fell, and I just didn't love it. Like, I made the pick, and I was just immediately like, God, that was stupid. I was telling Rob, I was like, I wish I could go back and redo that pick because I'm like, he might be out. 2 months. Well, now, like, they're talking about activating him next week, and all of a sudden, I don't hate it as much. I mean, we'll see. I know there's, like, a little bit of ruffles. Like, I think people, like, want to make the Ginkle thing happen, but I don't know. I feel like he's been good. There's nothing – I have nothing against him. I think they're going to go back to Sewell, and, maybe his leash is a little shorter, than it would have been normally because they've seen Ginkle succeed. And Ginkle was a monster for them in the playoffs.
For sure.
As well, so
people definitely want Ginkle to happen. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so. If I had him too, I'd be like, oh yeah, fuck Sewell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to check my bias sometimes because every time I see someone really riding Ginkle out there, I'm like, Ginkle stinks.
Definitely be wrong, but I think they're gonna maybe they give him like one little like low leverage outing and then fire him back up.
Picked up Ginkle in a couple of OCs. I thought Sewell was going to be out longer. That's what it sounded like. But, I mean, I was realistic that I knew when he came back, it was probably going to go back to him. But Ginkle is just good anyway. I think, it might not be an immediate drop. You got to see if Sewell's is good. Wait, if healthy.
If you have Ginkle, you definitely got to give it a week. Maybe even two, depending on the health of the rest of your team.
I mean, you see what happens. I think we just now got bad news on Gavin Williams today. I'm holding Gavin Williams in a ton of leagues, right? If you have Ginkle, Sewell could very well come back in a couple of weeks, be hurt again, right? So, like Rob said, you got to always be realistic with everything. Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000%. What's your top player shares across all three? Do you have anyone in all three?
In the CLQ, I don't have anybody in all three. I have a couple of, actually, let's see. Six, seven players I have in two leagues, one being Shea Langeliers, probably not my wisest move. But
Langeliers, baby.
For that one game, he had that three-homer game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that one three-homer run game. I'll be remembering that all season. No, Josh Naylor would be my guy who I have in two leagues who has been huge for the CLQ. Also have Aaron Nola in two leagues. Definitely didn't draw that strategy up, but he fell in both. And I felt like I needed to take him. Newt Barr, Massey, Varsho, and then I picked up Paez. This is something that I actually picked up from you guys. You guys have been talking a whole lot about, whether or not you're going to look to add guys that you already have in one CLQ format. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and I was aggressive with Paez in the OC I was in and grabbed him in the main as well. Actually ended up getting him for, I think, 72 in the main. So
nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that because – That's solid. And you have him on your DC, you said?
Actually, I have him on the OC and you're on the main OC now.
And yeah, the main. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got him both.
Yep. Have you ran into the instance yet of looking into someone that you have on your DC roster, like that's available in your OC in the main? Because I'm trying to keep my eye on that. I have I have a special watch list, and they're just so I know who my DC guys are.
Yeah, I have Massey. I think I had Massey in all three. Nice. I have to go back to my draft. I dropped him, obviously, when he was hurt to begin. I did pick him back up in the main this week. So
nice. I have
two shares of him now.
There you go. I like that.
I got a bunch of Massey this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed to not get as much love as I thought he deserved or was going to get.
Massey was a guy I took everywhere. I actually have nine shares across my 20-some leagues that I have this year, so I was all over him in DCs and 50s.
Kind of wish Adam Frazier wasn't there. I think that probably held people off just a hair, Like, I mean, he's they're going to play him twice a week, and it's just, it's going to be, I think he started today, right? Like, it's just going to be annoying. But yeah, it was nice to see, was it yesterday, Monday, they started him against a lefty, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere recently.
Yeah.
So
it was Monday, and it was very good to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's going to end up being a nice move.
What's the easiest CLQ pick, when it's a fast pick or when you have 4 hours or 2 hours to think about it in a DC?
I'll never do a slow DC ever again after doing that CLQ 4 hour. I'll never do it again. I mean, we had guys in there that were taking the entire clock. Mm. It just throws, like you were talking earlier, right? When you were in the zone, you want to make picks. And so I'll never do that again. I felt like that was a bad call on my part to do that 4 hour.
Got to do it.
Four hours always a bad move.
Yeah.
I mean,
You got to do a two or like an MTM. Like an MTM draft is perfect. Because like it's not super like the Express where it's all in one night and you can't go to the bathroom. The MTM is nice. You know, it's quick. Everyone's usually on the same page. And you have this expectancy. It's like, you know what? This is going to be done in 2.5 days. And you know, like, you know, you have a weekend where it's like, oh, like I seriously looked at the forecast when Mike texted me. He was like, you want to do it this one day? I'll be like, look, I'm like, ah, it's going to rain the next 3 days. Yep, I'm in. You know, like, perfect. Like, I'm just going to be able to do it, and it's quick. And that's an option.
He starts them too early in the offseason for me. Like, it'll be like October. He's sending out the bat signal for a MTM fast draft.
It gets your brain going.
I'm still licking my wounds from the season that just finished, you know?
I'm a big from the gut, you know, thinker. I've always trusted my blink instinct. One of my favorite books too that I've ever read by Malcolm Gladwell called Blink. It's super awesome book. Mm-hmm. And it just forever changed how I process, like how I believe how my brain processes things. And you know, just like, I lost my train of thought for a second to what I was going to tie it into. What were we?
The MTM fast draft.
Oh, yeah. So I want to see where my brain is at earlier in draft season, in draft champion season. So even if it's October or November, I want to see where my brain goes first, you know? Yeah. And I want to see then how my analysis, as I get deeper and deeper into player dives and organizational depth, I want to see how it shapes, you know, how it compares to what I was originally thinking. And I think I kind of take notes on that. So that's why I like doing one early, because I want to see and that's why I like the early Gladiators too, because it does get your brain thinking in that mode already. And I think it really helps you. I know there's a big gap between when Gladiators are and what most of them are, and then when OCs and even main events start, but I just think I like to get into that mode early. And you guys going to do any second chance leagues?
No. No. Well, the only thing that could get me
not
in
even
is
a
they're going to be all, they're going to, I say they're going to be Gladiators and DCs, right?
Yeah.
There's not, I can't do another Fab League. Like I
No.
Yeah,
I did
Gladiator? Yeah, you got to do a Gladiator.
We'll see.
I hadn't given it any thought, but today when I was reviewing for the notes and for the pod, I did check and I saw that I remembered that last year I cashed in a second chance Gladiator. So that got me thinking. I said, you know what? Maybe I'll give that another go this year. Yeah.
Are the signups even up yet? Like, are they?
I don't know.
I don't go in the lobby from March until December.
Speaking on what Rob was talking about, this is something that I think I might revise going into next year or going into this offseason upcoming. I'm usually someone who likes to decompress, you know, after viewing baseball for 9 months, whatever it is, I mean, 10 months. I want to decompress a little bit. So I'll do that by kind of just veering towards home leagues, football leagues, you know, and I'll just dive into that a little bit. But this year, I think I might change that up. I think I might jump into some of those early drafts. I like the way that you laid that out there. You're able to kind of analyze what you were thinking at the end of the most recent news and data that we had, right?
Yes.
And then you're able to look back, say you don't draft again. You draft one of those early drafts in October, and you come back at it in February, and you look at where you were. I do like that. I think that could give you some actual – some good reference points to go off of.
that there's such a good point. Like, it may be, you know, you have to separate it from like really trusting just the recency bias, but there is a reason why it's like the most recent performances are weighted heavier, and it's super important, I think. And then I love that when you have that, especially if the guys you had on your team, like, and you remember the stretch they had, a 6-week stretch, and maybe someone or a lot of other people didn't realize it. Maybe it's not a big star, but maybe it's a guy who got PT on a team and you saw these sneaky skills, and then DC comes around or whatever and you're drafting the guy, and then all of a sudden the first set of projections come out and like they like this player too on top of what you thought of them. Like, and it's like, oh, this is great. You know, and it's, so I like that whole process of it. And I remember I remember you were like, oh, it's been great, you know, I gotta decompress. And I just remember hitting you up like, yo, where are you?
Yeah.
I was like, we need you back into the Patreon Discord, bro. We had enough of you taking time off.
Yeah, for sure. I took like a 3-month hiatus. I was like, hey, you do 20 some leagues. It's a lot to manage, you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Mentally, you're drained when that final week comes. You're just ready for it to, you know, hey, let's let the chips fall where they may, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So we got a couple questions from some members of the Discord. We got Dan Iverson. He was asking, which of the 3 formats you were most confident in coming into draft season versus which have actually performed the best?
Yeah, it's played out exactly the way I thought it would. I mean, I've been very successful with that OC. You know, yeah. I think I broke the top 100 in the overall with that OC, just the total overall. I've been hanging around the top 15 of the CLQ overall with that OC. And then my second favorite format would be DC. I've had some good success there. And with no real main experience at all, other than the main event qualifiers, I knew that was going to be a struggle, and it has been. I've took some real lumps with pitching, just trying to be a little cute with starting Kyle Freeland and Alex mm-hmm. Wood in that week one. I'm still trying to recover from that. I thought I was recovered, and then I took it on the chin last week with Cole Reagans. So.
You can't do anything about that, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't do anything about when you're. I mean, yeah. If you're, I mean, I think Joe Ryan's trying to give it up to the White Sox. You know, Pablo didn't do what he thought he was going to do last night against the White Sox, so it happened. I mean, you know, you can't avoid the ones like that. You could have avoided Kyle Freeland, but you can't avoid a Cole Reagans blow up.
Yeah,
so crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's a big difference because like. Again, the caliber of pitchers that you're going to be working with weekly really hits you really quick. You're like, okay, well, what does Paul Blackburn do? You know, yeah. And you have to really...
What do you do here?
Yeah, yeah. What is your function? You know, and then you're like, I spent so much time on Ben Lively this past weekend, and I was like, I like him. I think he's solid, you know, but I still was a little hesitant in my bid list. I had some other guys ahead of him. And then like he had to start today and I'm like, damn it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just, but those guys where your brain, you're hardly going to Ben Lively in a 12 unless he has this amazing two step. Otherwise he doesn't enter your brain, you know, so that's the biggest difference between those formats. You had some guy who might give you 100 mm-hmm. usable innings. Well, not usable in the fashion you want it to be, but you have to use them versus never really considering them in a 12-team league, you know? It's such a big gap, you know?
Yeah.
But you touched on this earlier about, you know, when you drafted your main, but Josh Peterson also wanted to hear a little bit more about, you know, drafting this important main event, you know, right when you had to make, you know, right in front of one of the life's best experiences when you're having a, you know, your wife is having a child, so... And I thought that was one of the, you know, when the notification pops on my screen, either on my phone or my computer, about a message in the Discord, you know, you just pop up, you just take a look, and you're like, you know, I was just looking for your guys' opinion on this, and I read it, and I was like, I enjoy those threads so much, you know, because everyone, and immediately it was filled with comments and messages, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, that was a crazy moment for you, man. I mean, I'm sure you were thinking like, how am I going to get all this stuff done? You know?
Yeah. 100%. I'm always kind of just trying to figure out where, how I'm going to get everything accomplished with the amount of fantasy baseball leagues that I do. I have a five and a 4 year old, as well as a newborn. At that point in time, I'm just trying to figure out what the hell is the best time to get this main over with. I'm glad that I did it when I did it. I'm glad that I crowdsourced and was able to get some real good feedback from the community, because I was planning on waiting as long as possible. Randy had convinced me that was the way to go.
My wife was not, 9 months pregnant though. When I was planning my completely different story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad that I did that though, and I always love the support in the community, man. As soon as I put it out there in the Discord, just 20 messages, just hey, do this. Rob throwing it out there that, hey, you guys leave your login and we'll take care of it for you. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more.
We could have made it a whole event. Like, hey,
yeah, would have been a meatball.
Who wants a free roll meatball main?
Oh man, fun stuff, man. Well, I'm glad you got through it and everything lined up perfectly for you, and that you had like some sort of help in trying to figure that out, because it's pretty intimidating to deal with all that, for sure. Yeah, man. So do you want to hang out and talk with us about the regular standing movement, or you gotta head out of here?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
All right, cool. So I dug up some quick standing stuff. Randy took some notes also. You want to go through what you got, Randy, and then we'll go through some of the biggest movers of the week?
Yeah, that's fine. I have
go ahead.
I've lost my spot here. Okay, so first is Chris Yurem. Am I saying that right? He's currently looks like he's been passed. Well, as of this morning, he was number one. I kind of like to look at, whoever's got the top seat, what they were kind of composed of. 36th in the main, 17th in the OC, 7th in the DC. Little different than last week, when we had Peterson was first in the DC, second in main, and like 80 something in the third format. So it's a little different that it's how it's compromised. The average rankings are about the same. They've moved a little bit. It was 38 in the main, 32 OC, 36 DC for the final tables of right now. This week, main 36, OC 40, DC 30. So there's fluctuation for each format, but kind of what we thought last week. You know, if you're averaging to where you're in the top, 40 or so, you're probably going to be in really good shape at the end. We'll keep trying. It could definitely change a little bit, but I really think that's a sweet spot. If you can get it'd be nice to spike one of the formats at least, be up in the top like 5 or 8 just to give you that cushion. But if you can hang between 30 and 40 in all three, you're going to be doing really well. And I do think maybe we're starting to see the top 10 out of those 15, maybe starting to separate a little bit. Last week, the top 10 players, there were several contests, within that top 10 that were outside the top 100. This week, there's none. Every player in the top 10, there's no contest that they have outside the top 100, and it's still at least two in the top 40. And there's only one total contest at the final table right now that's outside the top 100. I think it's, let me hold on. It is Bill Gaffney. He has a DC at 150. That's kind of pushing the limits, maybe a little, or his, I'm sorry, wow. It's his OC. His OC is at 150, but his main 7th, DC 16th. So again, if you got two in the top 20, you got a little bit of wiggle room with that third format, but I think 150, when it's all said and done, might be pushing it.
Yeah, I definitely want them balanced, but it is interesting how it tightened up a little bit more. And I think as we go like week by week,
we're gonna see that. I think,
I actually so filtered by minimum 1,100 points in each contest, and I was just messing with the numbers. I did like 1,000, I did 1,500. It was like 1,000 was too much, 1,500 was too little. And then I set it down to 1,100, and I saw it landed on exactly 15 players. I was like, oh man, like that's the final tables, So, out of those 15 players, teams, the average rank per team in the overall, is 13.8. And there's only four teams outside the top 15 overall. Daniel Baker at 18, Mark Zerebro at 21, Todd Hoppe at 40, and Michael O'Brien at 46. So getting the point spread, but not pushing in to the top table yet. But I thought that was it's interesting because if you really think about it, I was kind of thinking, like, okay, that's probably like around the 80th percentile range. And it's cool to see, I guess, how spread out some players were in a different format, but also how consistent, you know, that you have to be. I think it's going to come down to consistency more than one spike league, you know, or even two spikes. You know, I think that you're going to see more of a spread out of, you know, even if you, I really want to see how many people end up winning their leagues, you know, like in the top 15 or top 50, you know, like imagine getting into the final table with like no league win, but you were just second in each one or second or third, you know. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that balance. I think that's what I'm most waiting to see, like that spread of what's it going to take to get to the top, you know.
I can look at that next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoever's at the final table at that time, how many actually are winning each of those three leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with the consistency over the spike league. You know, with a spike league, you can drop out of – we've all probably been there, right? You lead late in the season. And even if it's late in the season, you can drop – you know, one bad week can drop you out. So it's going to be consistency, I think, for sure, that gets you there.
100%. So then I took those top 15 teams, and I took their average category stat. Point. So not the, you know, not what, how many home runs they have hit, but more, you know, their overall rank in each format. So most of the leagues were the averages in the top 15 were over 100, 110. The only ones below that averaged under 100 category stat point was ERA in the OCs. They had a 90 average, 92 across, even some as low as 8 and 13. So just getting 8 points in ERA and 13 across two teams again that are in a in that top 15. And WHIP also in the OC was only 90, and then saves in DCs were, the average was 72 across those 15 teams that averaged at least 1,100 points in each format. So it's just cool to see, because I know saves is also something that's always discussed as being like least correlative to, you know, the overall stuff. But the OC, again, it's probably just a small sample and it might just gonna, you know, probably gonna balance out. But it's interesting to see like OC ratios pop out as the two things that were the lowest. And I mean, lowest by pretty much. I think the next lowest was like the 107, but most of these numbers, you know, are like runs in the OCs, 146 average across those top 15 teams, the home runs 135, RBIs 158. So to see ERA and WHIP only sitting in the 90s was pretty interesting. I guess it's just blow ups or just, I don't know. I don't know.
All-star pitching staffs.
Yeah.
All-star pitching staffs. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But then I also looked through some risers, gainers and risers. And so what I did was I took the week ending of 4/14 and all the way through this morning's standing. So the biggest mover was Tony Albertino. He moved up 90 spots in the rank for overall 773 points. So that was a 10-day span, and he moved up 90 spots. Pretty
good. That's a big jump. Yeah, that's 100%. Half the contest.
Yep, that's half the contest. Fellow Meatball Brian Magnani, he moved up 89. Mark Zerebro, Mr. Gecko himself, moved up 84 spots. Christopher Torres, we know him, 74 spots. Matt Hurley, also fellow Meatballer, 74. James Anderson, Robert Kahn, a.k.a. Candy Boy, 65 spots. There's a lot of meatballs in here, huh? Matthew Ramon, Richard Zito, all these guys. Jeff Zimmerman moved up 733 points too. He's actually one of the most points rise. So you can see how many spots already it's changing so early in the season. You know, you could really make a good move nice and early. So, you don't want to be on the opposite end because it might feel like it's the end of the world, but it could easily just flip to you if you're on that opposite end, you know? And then I just took a look at like the biggest differential in hitting points. Again, Tony Albertino, who was first overall in the point differences, he moved up 627 pitching points compared to only 146 pitching points out of those 773 moved up. So the hitting for him just was massive jump. And then what was also interesting, though, for like the most of the people who jumped the most points overall, it leaned toward the pitching side of things, where they gained the most points. Guys in the top 10 averaged about like moving about 490 points out of their 740. So a lot of that came from pitching, but cool to just look at the swing of things and kind of start to see some numbers that you might want to put up, you know, like as a goal, you know, and keeping the eye on what you're going to need to achieve to stay in that lane. You know, obviously you can't do much with draft champions, but just put your best team out there. But for the other teams, the fab team that you could change, you know, it's, I know like people won't look at standings yet, and it's definitely not something, everything's still balancing out, but I think to not be cognizant of what your team might project to do would be a little bit ignorant, you know? Like, I think you have to understand what your team is made of. That's like what I'm doing this week. I'm putting my team into like a rest of season projection with other teams in the league. And I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, how am I really in homers? Because I think it's a trap. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm low on homers, you know, and I'm going to stream homers in the main. But, like, what is your – do you have four players projected for 28 homers that have none? And that just – you know, and so I think that's important. I think, like – so my brain is always – got a bunch of
Spencer Torkelsons.
Yeah. So I think it's important, too. If you're feeling like you're low in a category – don't do anything drastic. Like, go through that process. Like, I'm going to try to do it this week. I'm not the best with spreadsheets and shit. So I'm plugging away. I'm copying and pasting like a madman. But I just want to know.
Not the best with spreadsheets. He's got like 10 spreadsheets in this one Google Doc here.
You know how long it took me to make this sheet for the Champions League? Everyone's like, oh, what do you have it? Automated? Automated my ass. I thought it was funny. Because I made it like a contest, and like pros versus Joes, it's the scrapers versus the copy and pasters.
Yeah.
And
oh, I'm a copy and paste. I mean, I can barely copy and paste sometimes, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So but anyway, it's
that's saved, what, boys. Let's do it.
All right, I am saved.
Yeah. That's two errors. They tried to. Well, he had an error and himself, and then there's another error in the field. But he got out of it. So
love it.
It's looking good.
Let me ask you this question. Aside from this Champions League, because what player? And I know this is like on the spot, but what player when the second chance league comes up, and everyone starts drafting, which player do you think will drop the most that shouldn't drop most, and which player do you think that will rise the most that shouldn't rise the most? Because one guy was being discussed in the Discord, and it was Randy Rosarena, and I'm like, if people are gonna like fade him in a draft, he's the perfect guy where I'm like, I'll buy all day.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, because that's
I was looking at him yesterday or 2 days ago maybe, because I have him on several teams, including my OCCLQ, and it's just yeah, he's not pulling the ball quite as much, but it's a lot of BABIP. And I feel like he got off to a slow start last year.
Yeah.
Projections still like him. I mean, when you said who's going to drop the most, I would almost said like Paul Goldschmidt, but I think he maybe should. So I don't. It probably is a Rosarena that might drop the most that maybe should.
Goldschmidt's an easy one too. What about anyone a little higher?
I would still rebound. I mean, there's still a point where I would take Goldschmidt. I mean, they're not going to bench him, you know, right? Like, he's still going to hit, like, I mean, he definitely could be washed, but there's definitely a price point, you know, with him where it becomes like, all right, you take the plate appearances. I keep thinking the Cardinals lineup is going to turn it around. I mean, maybe not, but at least there could be some runs on RBIs there. The biggest riser, I mean, is going to be
Trout.
Is it, as I say, Jared Jones or Trout, maybe?
Trout, I would say Jared Jones. I mean, Jared Jones is going to jump all the way to the beginning of the third, some aggressive draft. Maybe even middle of the second. I mean, think about how good he's been and how some people are aggressive with pitching. Mm-hmm. I think he could get all the way there. I mean, there's an innings thing, so maybe he doesn't get quite into the second round. Matt Olson is one that sticks out as a guy who shouldn't drop, but I believe that he might. That's just my thoughts.
Right.
How many leagues does Elio go 1-1?
A lot. I think a lot.
I think it's going to be a lot.
I think more than we would imagine.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more than we imagine, too. I think that people are, 100%. I mean, last year they did the All-Star break drafts, and I took him in the first round, you know? I was taking him at like 10, 12.
I guess I completely missed that they did I thought they hadn't done them in a while. I can remember at one point doing an All-Star break modified DC where it was 40 instead of 50.
Oh, that's
I remember doing that. And then they've definitely done like the Memorial Day where it's like its own overall. It's a Fab League, but I could not add another Fab League right now. I could probably do a Gladiator, but I can't add another Fab League right now.
Every Sunday I get to the, the way that I tier my teams, I have like 8 Fab Leagues and I have 2 auctions at the very bottom. When I get to those auctions, I'm done. I'm not doing very well in those auctions.
I did 5 Fab Leagues last year. I'm only doing 6 this year. I went up by 1. You'd think I'm up by 10. I'm still like kind of trying to get into my flow on Sundays, and it's just that one extra league. By the time I get to that 6th one, I'm spent.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I sometimes wonder how you know, you guys see where some players won't go at it for a week, right? In certain leagues, you know, and I do understand how it happens, though, because if everyone has that league at the bottom of their Fab list, then everyone, by the time they get to that league, is just like, I'm done. I don't care. Let me just do exactly what I did in the last league.
Guys, wanna confess to any early L's, or not like early L's, because again, it's very early. But is there any player that you were very in on that, again, maybe you don't have to think they're done, but that you have this ounce of doubt in your brain that wasn't there 3 months ago?
It wasn't an early pick, but I drafted a lot of Maeda, and after Fab ran on Sunday, I no longer have any Maeda. But that's not early enough to really like take. I mean, I guess you guys could take an L on.
Were you nervous when he came back with the velo? Because I dropped him in an OC too. I'm not surprised that it came back like a mile an hour, but I mean,
I still don't know that I trust him, man. Like,
Totally.
It definitely like would suck if I drop him, but I felt like I get, you know, 5 starts without any velo. He was already kind of, pitchers like that are already kind of, they're hanging by such a small margin of error anyway, you know, and then plus the health history on top of that, you know, you're not getting 6 months for him, even when he is going well. But give me a second. I think I'm not going to say that's an L though. Like your SP 6 sucks. So, okay. That's not a big deal. But, I mean, I was in on Goldschmidt, you know, the only place I ended up getting him was the main, cause he fell to a decent spot. But, so far that looks like a horrendous pick.
It's pretty bad.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's pretty bad. Like, I have him on one team, and like you said, they're not going to not stop playing him. So, you know, it's a DC, and so you know the volume is there. But when your brain has to go to, well, should I consider?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you put up when you put up him and Carl Santana, and Carl Santana is like actually doing better than him in some spots, that's bad. And I'm nervous for him. I'm just a little nervous for him.
It was great to see that home run he hit the other night. I mean, at least it's still in there, right? Like he destroyed that ball. That looked like Pete Goldschmidt. But
his projected preseason OPS was 825, and right now his rest of the season is 780.
Yeah,
that's a big drop. That already the projection
for a month of games. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Right. So they're seeing, like, they're picking up on something, and they have him projected for rest of season 20 homers. He has two, and like, and then that becomes 35, 25, 22, you know, which 22 is 25 and 11 is like what makes Goldschmidt his floor. But then, you know, 22 and five is just Ty France, maybe.
Fancy Ty France.
It's your turn. Who do you got?
This is similar to Randy's. It's not a make or break pick, but Chaz McCormick is a guy I drafted in a lot of leagues. I don't love what I'm seeing. So he's one that I'm close to taking an L on, but I mean, it's a month worth of games. I'm definitely not going to drop him. So I'm going to keep running him out there. Zach Neto would be another one. I was all over. Got him in a lot of places.
Me too, baby.
I'm not giving up on him, obviously. Love the under the hood stuff right now, but.
Came alive today, baby.
Yeah. I didn't see. I haven't caught up with any stats. I've been so busy.
He's had a good last couple games.
I saw him home run today.
He had a home run today,
Okay, nice.
After an amazing player short, and that's I love when that happens. But I'm right there with you with Neto. It's going to end up being fine with him. I feel it. Talk to me about Chaz, though. Like, what do you – because, you know, he was one of the guys I did a pretty big dive on this year in the offseason – for the Patreon, and you know, I was amazed at how many balls he left the park opposite field, you know, and that was, again, I'm trying not to be too biased to the non-pull hitters of the world, but it's something I really like to see in a pull heavy profile. Now he's even putting more balls to like center, again, early for batted ball profile stuff, but it's just, it's interesting. He really just watching him play too. He really loves to let the ball travel and take it there. That's definitely his game. But I was just concerned, like what if that doesn't repeat? All that luck on opposite field home run, not luck, but just consistently doing it it's a tough skill.
Yeah, so. and you know, I think he did a lot of that damage on fastballs. You know, if you look at him, he's one of the best fastball hitters last year. And one of the reasons I liked him is he was able to replicate his success on fastballs year to year from 2022 to 2023. But also, if you look at his profile, one of the reasons I was on him this year is he struggled really bad against sliders in 2022. And then all of a sudden turned that around pretty significantly last year. I think he had a 367 wOBA against sliders. So he had a real drastic change at his approach to those down and away sliders. So I did like him because of that, and this season it just hasn't been the same. But obviously I'm not giving up on him this early.
Yeah, it's good old Chaz, man. I had a lot of feels about him too. And then there was that other thing where it's like, well, Dusty's gone, so he's gonna play. And you know, part of that makes a lot of sense, but then part of that is like, but you've never seen the new coach. There was that, you're like,
and he was there.
Right. I know he was there, but maybe he was the problem. Maybe he was the one going to Dusty. You know, maybe he was the one going to Dusty. I don't like this guy's attitude. We don't know that. And like, we were projecting that. Same thing for, you know, a Diaz. We're like, well, you know, he's going to play now. And like, yeah, obviously I feel the same way too, but we don't know it. You know, it's such a big difference because, like I said, who knows if my big thing with McCormick too is, you know, he's 29 years old. And every single year, this, you know, the sprint speed was dropping down like a little bit. And this year, it's dropped down the 52nd percentile, still very early, but that's 89 in 2021, 84th percentile the next year, 72nd percentile last year. I mean, now he's down to the 50s. So is he getting old quick? You know, so I don't know. It was another thing that caught my eye a little bit about the declining sprint speed, but. Yeah. I was attracted to the profile because there was a lot of times where, you know, in my DCs, I'm like, well, this, he's at the top of my list, but then it's all those other questions that come into my brain when I go deep. And how do you use projections at all, Gobble, or what it's like, what's your main source of like getting ready for the season besides your deep dives? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I use projections. I'm more of a gut player. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. I like to go off of my gut, you know, if I have a pretty good feel. I watch a lot of baseball throughout the season, so I like to go off of what my eyes tell me. You know, I mean, that might sound ridiculous to some stats guys. But, you know, I mean, I do dive into projections, and when I'm drafting, I'm obviously looking at projections. I want to have a second opinion on everything. Everything I do in life, generally, I like to have a second opinion on. You know, that's kind of me putting it out there in the Discord about when I should draft that main. If I can crowdsource something in my own life, I'd like to do that, you know. I like to take the opinion of people who I deem a little bit smarter than me or maybe have their eyes pointed in a different direction, and I like to take and incorporate that into my own decision-making. So that's kind of how I go about it. Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool hearing like how people use it. Obviously, people let it make them dictate every decision. Some like it make them dictate none, and some just find a way that works for it. You know, it's the same thing. It's like using, like you said, using your eye or your feel for looking at skill sets. You know, and you're filtering some skill sets, and then you let the projections, you know, also help you paint a picture of the whole, you know, person, of the whole being. And when everything lines up and you get that confirmation bias from everything you're looking at, you know, that's how you get your targets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I know. I also know that when I see that Rob's in on a guy that I'm in on, I become twice as convicted in that guy. So that's part of it as well.
And that's what's interesting, man, in so many of these drafts, you know, it's like, you know, we went into that OC and we know a lot about each other, you know, about, you know, you guys obviously, I'm putting my drafts out there, but then we're also discussing it in the Discord, and I talk to you guys a lot, you know, too privately. So we kind of have this, you know, little mini books, and that just becomes another game though, which I love, you know, because you're like, it's coming up in the pick, and I'm like, well, you know, if I want this Oriole, I'm going to have to think about him a couple of rounds earlier because of Randy, you know, and it's just, you know, if I'm thinking about Tristan Casas, I know I'm going to have to go real high before Gobble, you know, gets him. So I think that's one of the, it's not even just looking at our projection systems or stats. It's, you know, we have to play this other game with all of, you know, all the people that we know and play against often. So
how much Casas did you have?
This year, I have I'd have to look at my player sheets. I don't think I have him in maybe a 50. But, you know, that's one thing that I have to do. One of the biggest things that I learned after 2022, my introductory season to NFBC, was I drafted a ton of Red Sox. And so I didn't want to make that. I drafted with my heart and not my head. So one of the things that I went into last year thinking is I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I got to separate the two. Make sure that I'm looking at this with my head and not my heart. So I don't have a whole lot of Red Sox. I did pick up some Willier this weekend, though.
I was kind of surprised by the bids. I was kind of surprised by the Willier bids. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I didn't get him for as expensive as some people got him for. But I do remember when we were in that draft, I sniped Helsley on you. And that was one of the turning points. You were looking for that second closer.
Oh, Helsley. Yeah,
We talked about Helsley last pod or two pods ago, I think, just like we're so in on him early, and then spring training rolls around and he's throwing, you know, like 75 miles an hour or whatever it is he's throwing, and then all of a sudden you fade him and now he looks fine.
It's just, yeah, and the only reason I took him was because I needed a closer, so I got lucky there.
It's amazing. On some of my, you know, teams that are performing the best out of the rest of my teams, I'm just like setting my lineups, and I'm just like casually also trying to observe, you know, just the, I think sometimes if you're setting a lot of lineups, you're just not really paying attention to your team. You're just on this autopilot mode of just like setting a lineup and go, you know? Yeah. And so I just like peeled back, and it's like, man, this one team, the DC team, but it has like three players on a team that I don't really have of on any other DC, you know? And obviously it's purely coincidental, but it's like one of my better teams. And I'm like, it's so funny how that works out sometimes. Again, yeah. Like I said, it means nothing. And I know it's not because I have these three players on this team and no other teams that the team is doing good. But when it stands out to you, it's like, man, I didn't even draft these guys everywhere. And they're doing good, you know? And it's just like, why did I draft more of these guys?
And yeah, and fucking so much of it, yeah, so much of it comes down to draft placement, I feel like. I mean, at least for the early guys. I mean, if you're put at the beginning of a draft, I think this has been widely discussed, you know, across this pod and others, but if you're put at the beginning of a draft versus the end of the draft, you're just drafting completely different player pools. You don't see the same guys follow you. So I think that's a huge part of it as well with DCs.
100%, man. All right, good stuff, man. You guys want to get anything else off your chest before we get out of here?
No, man, this is fun. Glad you could come on, Trevor.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good talking to you guys.
Yeah, man, it's been a pleasure, and I hope you keep your ascension and your success in the game, because I think you're going to be a real force for years to come, and I know that you're going to fucking end up crushing 15-team League 2, and it's a battle, but, you know, you're on the right path, and I think you have a great process to make that happen. So we hope to see you in the top 15 next year, man, 100%.
I appreciate it, Rob. Good talking to you, Randy.
Hey, man.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Champions League podcast over on the Bullheaded Podcast. Go check Randy out on the X Machine at RandyHaines22. Is that what it is?
That's the one.
I hope I get that right. I'm at Dead Bullheaded. Trevor, you want to be found or no?
Sure. You can find me on X at Gobble Sports.
Woo, gobble, gobble, motherfucker. Yeah, gobble, gobble, baby. Gotta end on that. Don't be a bag of shit. Peace.